It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You all right?
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
And good Wednesday morning, everyone. Welcome to Sandy Rios in the Morning. Fred Jackson sitting in for Sandy today. Sandy is in Washington, D.C., where the talk, I am sure, this morning is what happened last night in those two special elections. Now, no big surprise in South Carolina, Republicans holding on there with Ralph Norman declaring victory there. But I tell you what, the most watched special election was certainly in Georgia, the 6th district, that area just north of the city of Atlanta. Now, if you went to bed last night fairly early, like 6 o'clock, and if you were reading everything that was being talked about yesterday and the days leading up to the special election there, it was a close race. It was too close to call. That this was going to be a referendum on Donald Trump. Well, you know what? I had Donald Trump on my mind this morning when I got to the results of what happened in Georgia. You're probably guessing what happened in Georgia. But do you remember this speech from Donald Trump back several months ago when he talked about, we're going to keep winning. You're going to win so much, you're going to get tired of winning. Remember this?
And we're going to start winning again. We're going to win so much. We're going to win at every level. We're going to win economically. We're going to win with the economy. We're going to win with military. We're going to win with health care and for our veterans. We're going to win with every single facet. We're going to win so much, you may even get tired of winning. And you'll say, please, please, it's too much winning. We can't take it anymore. Mr. President, it's too much. And I'll say, no, it isn't. We have to keep winning. We have to win more. We're going to win more. We're going to win so much. I love you, Albany. Get out and vote.
There you have a mildly excited President Trump, as I say, back several months ago. Well, guess what? He was tweeting out this morning, congratulations to the Republican candidate there, the 6th District special election in Georgia. Karen Handel winning not by a sliver at all last night. As I was saying, you know, all the pundits yesterday, and I was reading, you know, the Washington Post, New York Times, CNN, all of those saying, you know, referendum on Donald Trump, so close. It was the most expensive House election in the history of politics in the United States. The Democrat candidate there, Democrat candidate John Ossoff, 30-year-old Democrat, more than $30 million was plowed into his campaign. I was reading a figure yesterday that roughly only about 4% of that came from Georgia. Hollywood poured millions into this. Democrats in New York, Democrats in Massachusetts poured millions into this because for the Democratic Party, they were hoping, and they were going to, if they won, they were going to declare this a referendum on Donald Trump. This was the door they hoped to open to launch their campaign in 2018. Didn't work out that way. Mainstream media doing the polling, too close to call, as I say, at least 5-6% victory, at least 11,000 votes for Karen Handel in the victory last night. Huge turnout there. Vice President Pence went down to help campaign. So last night, here's what Karen Handel had to say about her victory.
Thank you. I need to also thank Speaker Ryan and the House leadership and so many of the members across this country who also united to help us hold the 6th. Yeah. And a special thanks to the President of the United States of America. But let's not forget our equally great Vice President, Mike Pence. And I think it's appropriate to take a minute to acknowledge a new friend that I was able to make over the course of that campaign, this campaign, and that was Majority Whip Steve Scalise. Right up until that tragic day on the ball field, Steve would drop me a text message every single week just to make sure I was doing okay and hanging tough. And we need to also lift up this nation so that we can find a more civil way to deal with our disagreements.
That was Karen Handel last night, just north of Atlanta, celebrating her victory over the Democrat there. Now, to be in full disclosure, there was a lot of money. Republican money also went into that race. But not near as much, as I mentioned, of the $30 million-plus that was poured into the Democrats. And I was reading yesterday a few columns about what would happen if the Democrats lost. One of the articles I read is that they're going to need some counseling, the Democrats. But you know what? The reality was that everybody is aware of the kind of media attention that President Trump has received. The constant beating. I was telling somebody yesterday, a gymnasium I go to, and it has a whole bank of TV screens up in front, and CNN is on one of those screens. Every night for weeks and weeks and weeks. Now, I can't hear what's being said, but the supers are on there. You can read what's being said on the screen. It's Russia, 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 alleged Russian collusion, all of this kind of thing, Trump being involved, all of this pounding away. You know, I think last night in that Georgia special election, it was a referendum, I believe, on the media as well. And the Democratic message, that people are just tired of it. When you have evidence of something happening out there, then bring that forward. But after weeks and even months of pounding away at this, the American people are not interested. They want the Donald Trump agenda. They want to make America great again. They want to secure our borders. They want an economy that favors America and not everybody else in the world. And that was on the minds of Handel's supporters last night. And Rob, we want to hear cut number four, some of those supporters, what they had to say last night in Georgia.
This is a confirmation that the Republican Party is going to survive. I mean, Karen Handel is a real Republican. She's not extreme. She cares about people, but she's a realist and she's practical.
Absolutely ecstatic. It was very surreal. We were thinking it was going to be closer than what it was, but thankfully it wasn't.
She's a real Republican. She's the kind of Republican, she's not a, would you call it, the lightning rod kind of person. She's the kind of, she's going to be the kind of congressman that's going to become the best ambassador for the Republican Party. Donald Trump does not realize how important this is going to be for him.
For a president to come out publicly and get involved in a race such as this is very significant. I think that even though they may not agree with each other with 100% of the issues, that they know what it takes to get a deal done, and that they, at the end of the day, are the same on the same side of the aisle.
Of course, crosstown where the Democrats were meeting last night, a very different environment there. And John Ossoff, in his concession speech, he had some interesting things to say. I want you to hear a little bit of what he had to say to his supporters last night when he found out that he had lost.
A few moments ago, my friends, I called Secretary Handel. No, please. I commended her on a hard-fought race and on her victory this evening. And we showed the world that in places where no one thought it was even possible to fight, we could fight. We showed them what courage and kindness and humility are capable of. At a time when politics has been dominated by fear and hatred and scapegoating and division, this community stood up. Women in this community stood up.
All right, there you have the candidate who lost last night, Democrat John Ossoff, who, by the way, didn't even live in the district. I think that may have played a part in it all, whereas Karen Handel, of course, is, I believe, lived in that district all her life. But I want to point into a couple of things that he just said. Now, he finished up his speech basically, you know, praising the women who supported him. Note to John Ossoff, he was defeated by a woman, a Republican woman. Karen Handel. So, and he talked about, you know, the tone of politics, the fear, the hatred, the division. I think this is part of the problem with the Democratic Party. They have been feeding division in this country. Male against female. Bringing this race against one race against another. They have been feeding this in a way to try to gain votes. And it's failing miserably. They have now lost, the Democrats, 4 special elections. They must win at least 24 in the elections next year to take over the House. They've got a problem. The tone of politics, he talked about fear, hatred, division. I would say for the most part, it's the Democrats that have that problem of trying to generate and trying to win elections using fear and hatred and division. It was really interesting, Massachusetts Republican Seth Moulton, who is regarded, I guess, as an emerging Democratic leader, according to CNN, basically he said, this better be a wake-up call for Democrats. This is what he tweeted out last evening. This ought to be a wake-up call for Democrats. Now listen to what he said. He said, we need a genuinely new message, a serious jobs plan that reaches all Americans, and a bigger tent, not a smaller one. Focus on the future. Now, I haven't talked to Congressman Moulton yet, but let's take a look at that. Focus on the future. I think he's right. The Democrats, Hillary Clinton and the gang, have got to move beyond 2016. Hillary Clinton is a liability for the Democratic Party right now. She keeps resurrecting her loss and blaming everybody else. Remember in a speech a few weeks ago, Hillary Clinton was blaming her own party. She said the Democrats did not do enough for her, did not give her accurate numbers. So, focus on the future, yes. But the reality is the Democrats and their helpers in the mainstream media keep focusing on 2016. And I believe America is just tired of it. They want to move on. You know, Congressman Moulton talks about the Democrats need a bigger tent. You're chasing away people with your talk of division that's going on out there. A serious jobs plan. Well, right now, President Donald Trump is beating you at that. Have you seen the Dow Jones lately on what's going on in our economy? Thousands of jobs being created. The Democrats have got to do some soul searching. And I think some Democrats, at least, are realizing that they're in trouble. All right. Much more ahead in the way of analysis that's going on in the last few hours in the wake of those special election results last night. Republicans winning both. Also, an interesting hearing on freedom of speech yesterday in Washington. We'll talk a little bit about that as well. We're back right after the break.
Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio.
We're going to be going back to Israel in March, March 8th through the 16th, and we'd love to have you come with us. You know, one of my favorite places to go in Jerusalem is Gordon's Calvary, which is the place where they make the case, a very strong case, was where Jesus was executed. Then we'll also see the Garden Tomb, which is right next door to that, where also a very strong case can be made, was the tomb where Jesus was buried and where he rose from the dead. Well, that's just two of the places we'll see on one day in Jerusalem. We'd love to have you come with us. If you want the information we have available on the tour, go to the website twholyland.com, twholyland.com. For a free brochure sent to you in the mail, call 1-800-FAMILIES, option 5, 800-FAMILIES, option 5.
This is a Decency Minute. I'm Bill Johnson. What does a Muslim prayer sound like? What are some of the things Muslims say during prayer? What do Muslim prayer movements look like? These are just some of the questions being asked of students grades 5 through 12 under the Department of Education's Islamic Education Program called Access Islam. CARE spokesman Ibrahim Hooper said in a 1993 interview that he hoped the U.S. would become Islamic through education. This desire for education jihad is here and is a real threat to our children and our country. Access Islam has 10 lesson plans, which teachers can freely download through the PBS Learning Media website. These lessons also indoctrinate our children to become Muslim evangelists. Over 100,000 teachers have viewed Access Islam so far. Go to ChristianAction.org and sign their petition to dump Access Islam. Go to ChristianAction.org today. This is a Decency Minute. I'm Bill Johnson.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next.
Truett McConnell University.
My name is Dr. Robert Bowen. I am the Dean of Science, Technology, Engineering, and Mathematics, and I'm an Associate Professor of Physiology. So one of the benefits of being a faculty member at TMU is not only are we allowed to speak the gospel in the classroom and within our areas of discipline, we're encouraged to do so. Everybody needs to know the love of Christ. And so I try to incorporate in my classes, and one of the places that I incorporate in the most is in my office when I have students come in.
Are you called? Visit truett.edu today.
The St. Louis Cardinals have been hosting Christian Day for 3 decades now, a night for church groups to come out to Busch Stadium, watch some baseball, eat some popcorn, and hear a Christian message. The Cards host similar nights for all sorts of groups, Catholic Family Night, Bosnian Heritage Night, and for the first time, the Cards are hosting a Pride Night for members of the LGBT community. But instead of celebrating, St. Louis Pride is upset over the guest speaker for Christian Day. Former Cardinal Lance Berkman, scheduled to speak, he came under fire from LGBT groups over his opposition to a transgender bathroom bill. Berkman said he would not want teenage boys who identify as girls to shower alongside his daughters. Pride St. Louis called those remarks divisive and demeaning. But the Cardinals are sticking by Berkman, and in doing so, are demonstrating true tolerance and diversity. I'm Todd Starnes.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the Morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
And welcome back to Sandy Rios in the Morning. Just getting up, turning on your radio this morning. Republicans are celebrating in South Carolina in a special election there. Didn't get a lot of media attention. Ralph Norman, the Republican there, holding on to that seat for the Republicans. But the big one, as we've been talking about for days now, and the mainstream media and Democrats have been talking about, was in Georgia, that 6th district. It's been Republican hands since, I believe, 1979. But the Democrats pouring in more than $30 million trying to win that race, leading up to it, describing it as a referendum on President Donald Trump. Well, last night, the Republican there, winning handily, Karen Handel, at least 11,000 vote victory. And there was some real close similarities to election night in 2016 in November. Remember the polls leading up to the election 2016? All had, well, some of the polls had Hillary Clinton winning. And the Democrats were fairly confident that those polls were right. Yesterday, the same thing. The polls leading up to the voting yesterday had the Democrat, John Ossoff, really, really close, too close to call, all the polling said. I was reading a couple of polls, one by the Associated Press. All wrong again. All wrong again. She won by at least 5 percentage points. As I say, at least about 11,000 votes. Won the most expensive election, House election, in American political history. $30 million plus was not enough. And all the media, basically the mainstream media, on John Ossoff's side, the Democrat, still weren't able to pull it out. So what does this mean? What does it mean for the Republican Party? What does it mean for the Democratic Party? To help us answer that, those questions this morning is Daniel Horowitz. He's senior editor at the Conservative Review and a regular guest on national syndicated radio programs, such as right here on Sandy Rios in the Morning. Good morning, Daniel.
Hey, great to be with you. It was a long night last night.
All right, let's get your reaction to all of this. What does it mean for the Republicans and the Democrats?
Sure. I think you have to start off with some of the other races that a lot of people are forgetting. Mm-hmm. Something remarkable happened last night. Republicans won the Georgia district by a larger margin than they won the South Carolina 5 race.
Yeah.
I believe by about what 1 point difference there. And just to give your listeners some perspective, this South Carolina 5 district, Trump carried it by 19 points, a 19-point margin last November, whereas the Georgia district, although it has been reliably Republican for a long time, he only won it by 1 point.
Hmm.
So what gives? You know, what happened there? And then I think also you have to look at Montana and Kansas, other special elections. Democrats seem to really be coming close and dramatically overperforming. You know, Trump carried the Kansas district by 27 points, yet the Democrats came within six in April. And I think what this demonstrates is people are upset with Trump. They're upset with Republicans. They don't feel like they're accomplishing much of anything, and they're taking out their frustration on them, and clearly the Democrat base is more engaged. But what happened in Georgia 6 is that they made such a big deal out of it. They poured in national money, and it became very clear to the locals that this was a proxy for the National Democrat Party, for Hollywood, for New York, for California. And then that had a push-pull effect of energizing the GOP base, and they were able to match them. And that tells me that the anti-Pelosi stuff still works. But the lesson for this is headed forward. At some point, Republicans are going to have to energize their own base on an affirmative positive agenda.
Okay, are they going to do that? Are they going to learn from this? Are they doing some head-scratching this morning, too, saying, you know, yes, we got a victory, but it was really close and it shouldn't have been in South Carolina and in Georgia?
I doubt it. No. I mean, I think this was a good night for Republicans, but I fear it might not have been a good night for conservatives, just simply because I think Republicans will take away from this that, this binary choice business, this lesser of two evils. Well, Mr. Conservative, Mr. Jackson there, do you want Nancy Pelosi to be Speaker? Oh, no, we don't want to. And it worked. It really did. I don't know what Karen Handel really ran on. It was kind of a bland, generic R campaign. But they did flash a lot of pictures of Nancy Pelosi, and I think they're going to rerun that next year. And for Democrats, it's very clear that they need to run the Rahm Emanuel 2006 model, where you have a local candidate that not just plays the part of a moderate, but actually really sounds more moderate and doesn't have too many overt ties to the National Democrat Party.
Daniel, a little bit ago, we were quoting Democrat Seth Moulton from Massachusetts, and he was saying this better be a wake-up call for Democrats. He said, we need a genuinely new message, a serious jobs plan that reaches all Americans, and a bigger tent, not a smaller one. So what does he mean by that? What new message are the Democrats going to bring forward? He says they need a new message. I'd like to know what that new message needs to be to win elections, because, you know, they had, everybody thought, they had 2016 in the bag, but that didn't happen. They were fairly positive that they were going to win last night in Georgia. That didn't happen with the message. So what new message could the Democrats come up with that would be able would enable them to win elections over the Republicans?
Well, it's kind of like they need a political sex change operation. I don't know if it's possible there. That is who they are. And that's the thing. The Republican Party has been a dumpster fire for several years. The infighting, they have no agenda. They've accomplished nothing. Obviously, you know, Trump's been very volatile. They had no business winning in November. They had no business winning now, but they win anyway simply because they're not the Democrats. Enough people, not just the base, but enough swing voters are terrified of their extreme agenda. Now, it gets them victories in about 40% of the country, but this agenda cannot get them across the 50-yard line of American politics. That's really what this district in Georgia 6 was. Trump won it by 1 point, you know, while he won 230 congressional districts, if you break it down that way. So in order to get to 218 districts to win control of the House next year, Democrats need to win a district like this. And they really can't with this message. You know, it's pretty remarkable if you think about it. Republicans have won control over the House, which is the body closest to the people, 20 of the last 24 years. And that's pretty remarkable. And again, you know, in my view as a conservative, I don't think they stand for much, and I don't think they really deserve it. But everyone is scared in these swing districts, not the far left. Obviously, they'll, you know, vote for the Democrats. But in the Georgia 6 type of districts, they are just terrified of Nancy Pelosi's agenda.
So again, though, I mean, this congressman, Democrat congressman from Massachusetts, Seth Moulton, talks about this bigger tent. So how does the Democratic Party win that without losing their core supporters in New York and Los Angeles, you know, California, New York, and the Northeast for the most part? I mean, they're banking on that kind of support. But how do you bring those two communities together if you're a Democrat? The moderates living in the rest of the country and the extremes living on the East Coast and the West Coast.
Yeah, they got to stop the culture war, the cultural Marxism. That's really what it is. I think some of their economic agenda, unfortunately, would resonate with a lot of people. Dependency always does. But there's no Americanism. You know, it's the support for radical Islam. It's the obsession with mass migration from the Middle East. It's the obsession with the homosexual and transgender agenda. This is what Rahm Emanuel understood in the midterm elections during Bush's second term when he ran people like Heath Shuler in Western North Carolina, that they were pro-life. But, you know, Tom Perez made it very clear that pro-lifers have no future in their party. Well, if you throw them out, you really have written off a good part of the country. And, you know, again, Democrats have a very big problem with House districts because districts, you know, you're not talking about statewide. You're talking about confining an area to, you know, really cities or suburbs or rural areas. And the Democrat coalition is clustered exclusively in urban areas. And that is just not enough to get them to 218 districts. I don't know, a lot of people don't realize, even in a losing year for Republicans, Mitt Romney lost to Barack Obama in 2012, yet he still won 225 congressional districts. He won more districts than Obama did. It just, the Democrat coalition is very confined to urban areas, and you know, they cannot win a national election, certainly for Congress, unless they change their message.
All right, we're speaking with Daniel Horowitz, who's senior editor at the Conservative Review. Daniel, when we started off this interview, you made mention, made very clear that these four special election victories, Kansas, Montana, and now South Carolina and Georgia, but they're all really close in what have been safe Republican seats. So what is your message then to the Republican Party this morning? Stay the course, or should this go as a warning to Republican leadership that you've got to modify the way you're doing things as well?
No, absolutely. This is not a mandate for them to continue doing nothing, to continue adopting Democrat life, because as we've seen, the reason they won, they improved in Georgia, not the other places, is because they ran on, we are not the Democrats. They're so scared of Nancy Pelosi. So actually eschew Pelosi's agenda. Actually give your base something to be excited about. Give them full repeal of Obamacare. It's very clear the Democrat base is electrified. I mean, that was clear even in Georgia 6. They are electrified. And most other places, the GOP base is not engaged because they're not giving them anything. If they would do full repeal of Obamacare, full repeal of Dodd-Frank, if they would enact tax cuts, enact the cuts to immigration, illegal immigration, go after the courts, enact judicial reform, and you know, frankly, pro-gun legislation is something that always unites the base. The GOP base needs a shot in the arm. Because let's face it, one thing that does scare me, the money didn't work here because they nationalized the race too much. But keep in mind, Ossoff was able to raise money at a quicker pace than Barack Obama or Bernie Sanders. So that tells me next year, you know, when we're dealing with a national map and there's not as much focus on one particular race, the money might make a difference. And Republicans are going to need that too. So, you know, they need to jazz up their base, just like the Democrat base is excited.
Daniel, what I'm getting from you is right now in these special elections, you had Republicans voting against Nancy Pelosi and the Democrats, not necessarily for Republicans. Is that an accurate assessment of where you are?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, there's no question. I really don't see anything in Karen Handel, not that I have anything against her. I mean, it's kind of just the generic R stuff. And that's why in the other races where there are such deep red Republican districts, they weren't even worried about it. There were no ads or anything. All things equal, the Democrats turned out in force, and the Republicans didn't turn out, and they almost lost them.
Mm-hmm. All right, Daniel Horowitz, senior editor at Conservative Review, always appreciate your assessment. I guess you would say to the Republicans, have your celebration today, but you better go back and reassess things because it may not turn out this way next year.
Absolutely. As Donald Trump said during his inauguration address, the time for empty talk is over. Now arrives the hour of action.
All right. Daniel Horowitz, thank you so much. As always, enjoy having you here on American Family Radio.
God bless.
All right. Take care. All right. Well, that will be, I'm sure, talked about today. Certainly the Republicans are celebrating. Congratulations went out to President Trump this morning, tweeting to Karen Handel. Congratulations, to be expected. And Paul Ryan, House Speaker, that sort of thing. But I think Daniel Horowitz is onto something. These special elections in what should be solidly Republican House districts. Yes, Republicans win, but still too close. And so that there's a problem there. So Republicans, I'm sure, will be dealing with that as they move along. But also Democrats, the anti-Nancy Pelosi vote, as Daniel was mentioning there, and they were running pictures of Nancy Pelosi as part of that 6th District election campaign, which Karen Handel won last night. And so, as some Democrats are saying, Democrats need new leadership. You will remember back right after the election, there was an election of to replace Nancy Pelosi. Now, she ended up winning that. But there was a strong contingent of Democrats, I think at least 60 Democrats, that voted for somebody else to take over as the minority leader in the House. So there is a good deal of discontent, and I'm sure in Democratic camps today that will be continuing. Is it going to make a difference in how the mainstream media covers the two parties? I don't think so. The mainstream media, the liberal media out there, the CNNs, the CBSs, NBCs, ABCs, the New York Times, and the Washington Post are going to continue their drumbeat against President Donald Trump because they're all in on that ideology. All right, your response to the election results last night in Georgia, South Carolina, 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. You surprised by it all? And what is your message for the Republican Party this morning and the Democrats? 888-589-8840 is the number to call. Fred Jackson sitting in for Sandy Rios on this the morning after the special elections in South Carolina and Georgia. Much more ahead on this Wednesday edition of Sandy Rios in the Morning. Back in a moment.
And I will make boys their princes, and infants shall rule over them. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Corner. Ontario, Canada overwhelmingly passed Bill 89, the Supporting Children, Youth, and Families Act of 2017. The law gives the government authority to remove children from the home if the parents are known to oppose the sexual deviancy agenda and the fraudulent gender identity theory. If parents don't accept their children's gender expression, the Ontario authorities can now intervene. How long before this madness makes its way to our nation? When you reject God's way, you by necessity accept every other way. There's no such thing as neutral.
Visit the Hamilton Corner on the podcast page at AFR.net for more from Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
You can stay up to date with the latest in the culture war from the news team at onenewsnow.com. Read the stories of the day and watch timely videos. Our goal is to present the day's news from a biblical perspective. OneNewsNow.com not only features the latest breaking stories from across the U.S. and around the world, but also news of the challenges that Christians face today. Bookmark OneNewsNow.com.
Life, Love, and Family, featuring the American Association of Christian Counselors President, Dr. Tim Clinton. Each weekday evening, you'll hear Dr. Clinton and his expert guests address important and sometimes difficult issues of our day that impact your life, your love, and your family, using the scriptures as their text. Access to archive programs is available at lifeloveandfamily.net. Life, Love, and Family, 11 p.m. Central on American Family Radio.
In the book of Isaiah, the word tells us, the grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God endures forever. In the same way, without careful planning, your financial goals could blow away like the seeds of a dandelion. It's never too early or too late to consider how a charitable gift annuity can help you meet the financial goals you've set for your loved ones, your causes, and yourself. Give AFA Foundation a call at 800-326-4543, extension 345, or visit our website, afafoundation.net. Let us explain how a charitable gift annuity can help you achieve your goals. As we read in Proverbs, the plans of the diligent lead to profit. Our phone number again is 800-326-4543, extension 345, and our website is afafoundation.net.
This is Frank Affney with the Secure Freedom Minute. The United States seems poised to enter the civil war in Syria. So-called limited operations to destroy the Islamic State are morphing into a campaign likely to bring clashes with three nations purportedly seeking the same goal: Syria, Iran, and Russia. Why would we risk such a potentially far-reaching conflict? After all, candidate Donald Trump expressly forswore the idea of embroiling the United States in another war in the Mideast. Worse, Mr. Trump is being urged to break that promise in order to support so-called Syrian moderates. Never mind that, by and large, these rebels' goals, if not in every case their tactics, are indistinguishable from those of the Islamic State's jihadists. The next step will be for President Trump to inject significant ground forces into Syria's fratricidal conflict. All I can say is, literally, don't go there, Mr. President. This is Frank Affney.
Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
And welcome back to this Wednesday edition of Sandy Rios in the Morning. Fred Jackson sitting in for Sandy today, who is in Washington, D.C. And I'm sure, just like we are, talking about the results of last night's special elections, both in South Carolina, where the Republican there, Ralph Norman, won a victory for the Republicans. But what's being talked about and what had been talked about leading up to the election yesterday is certainly the 6th District election campaign there in Georgia, that area just north, kind of the bedroom community north of Atlanta, where yesterday leading up to the vote, if you listen to the mainstream media, it was going to be really close, that this was going to be possibly a huge victory for the Democrats because they had poured more than $30 million into that campaign. But when all the votes were counted last night, it was the Republican Karen Handel who won that by at least 11,000 votes over John Ossoff, who had enjoyed much mainstream media support and much financial support from Hollywood and Democrats across the nation. More than $30 million sent in to help John Ossoff try to win that campaign, and it all failed. And as we've been talking about, Republicans and Democrats are going to be studying this through the day. As our guest Daniel Horowitz just a few moments ago was saying, Daniel Horowitz, senior editor at the Conservative Review, the vote and certainly the votes in the special election so far in Republican districts have been closer perhaps than what the GOP would like. And so are the voters out there voting against the Democratic Party versus voting for the Republican Party? That's kind of the assessment of Daniel Horowitz on all of this. But certainly for the Democrats, the fourth loss in a row of a special election, and even Democrats once again this morning are saying they have to do a lot of soul searching, the Democratic Party, if they're ever going to win handily again in areas where they need to win elections. Yes, they are going to win the Northeast, and yes, they're going to win California because that's where their base is. But what does the Democratic Party have to do to win back some of the support in the center part of the country? Changes are going to have to come. But will they make those changes, or are they so dedicated to their current ideology that they're willing to watch the ship continue to sink? 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. Going to go to the phones in just a second. But in a subject somewhat related, I believe, to all of this, we have seen the agenda of the left unfold like never before. Before the election, but even since the election. And one of the fronts that I believe that the American people have become very alarmed about is the assault on free speech, in particular against conservatives. And the venue that's been talked about a lot is on college campuses. You're well aware of the violent protests that have taken place in places like Berkeley, where there were violent protests over the scheduled appearance of conservative speakers. And, you know, it's we have seen this. We've known campuses are places of liberal ideology, but the violence that has been breaking out against conservative speakers and conservative thought, so much so that there was a hearing yesterday, Senate Judiciary hearing, and the title of the hearing was this, Free Speech 101, The Assault on the First Amendment on College Campuses. And the whole story got kind of lost in the Georgia special election yesterday. That's what everybody was talking about. But I did manage to hear one of the witnesses, and his name was Zachary Wood. And this is what he had to say about the continuing and growing threat against conservative voices being heard on our college campuses.
In my time at Williams, I cannot name a single conservative speaker that has been brought to campus by the administration. This fact is problematic precisely because the overwhelming majority of students at Williams have liberal beliefs. In classrooms, liberal arguments are often treated as unquestionable truths. In some cases, conservative students even feel the need to refrain from stating their opinion in fear of being shut down.
See, this is the kind of thing that I believe, and I think Zachary Wood put it exactly right. This is the kind of thing that's alarming people across the country, that on campuses, public universities that taxpayers pay for, that conservative voices are being shut out, even sometimes in the case of violence against any conservative speakers that would come to speak on campus, but also the students that are there. That has many Americans very much alarmed, and I think is playing into what we're seeing at the polling. Donald Trump's message during the election campaign was make America great again. And I think many Americans probably supported the Republicans, not so much that they like the personality of Donald Trump, but because he made a promise to make America great again. And that, I believe, includes returning of free speech on our college campuses. What do you have to say? 888-589-8840, your takeaway from the election results yesterday. Let's go first to Louisiana, and TJ is on the line. Welcome, TJ.
Hey, thanks, Fred. I got a little bit of stuff on my mind. I'm going to get it out. Republicans and Democrats have been fighting for, I don't know, maybe 50 years, whatever, as long as I've been living. I know they've been fighting. This division, always dividing one another, you know, Republicans versus Democrats. And I'm going to give you an example. My senator is in a hospital right now mm-hmm. with bullet wounds over him
yes.
because of everybody's political views.
Mm-hmm.
This is my opinion. I don't think that the two-party system has helped this country. And I don't know if we're ever going to get to, you know, on one agenda. And another thing, too, we're 6 months into the presidency. We have done nothing. You know, I mean, all we hear is talk, talk, talk. I mean, I think this country is now the new city of Babylon. All we do is talk, 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 and nothing gets done. And one other comment, I'm going to hang up and listen to you.
Okay.
You said the Democrats spent over $30 million
mm-hmm.
to try to elect this gentleman.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let me ask you something, Fred. I walk around my streets in Louisiana. I see people begging for money.
Yeah.
Panhandlers.
Mm-hmm.
We have a problem in this country, mm-hmm. and it's politics over people.
Yep.
You don't think those $30 million could have helped somebody this country?
Mm-hmm.
Our priorities are in the wrong place, and I'm hanging up and listening to you, Fred. Thanks.
TJ, words of wisdom there, especially on the Democratic message. They're always speaking about more money to help the poor. TJ makes a great point. But Democrats and their supporters poured $30 million into that one special election in Georgia, which they lost. Now, to TJ's point about the two-party system, I think beyond a two-party political system, which I don't think is going to go away anytime soon. We have a great ideological divide in this country. And the Democrats represent the far radical left. This is where, quite frankly, President Barack Obama took his party. Remember his message, change the country, change the world. That's where he took his party. And so you have the far left, Hollywood, the mainstream media, that support the Democratic Party. Inside the Republican Party, yeah, there is division there, but it still represents a conservative voice to a certain extent. So I don't think you're going to bring those two ideologies together. For instance, the issue of abortion. Still within the Republican Party platform, it is stated against abortion. Now, many conservatives wish the Republicans would take that next step and defund Planned Parenthood. But there's an issue right there. We saw it in the election campaign. Remember that debate night when that question of abortion came up? Donald Trump said he is pro-life and would nominate pro-life people to the courts. Hillary Clinton, totally against that. That's a black and white issue, folks. When it comes to the life of the baby, it's a baby that stays alive or a baby that dies at the hand of an abortionist, black and white. And I don't see the two parties coming together on that anytime soon. All right, let's continue our calls here. Let's go to Michigan, I believe it is, and Wayne. Wayne, good morning, sir.
Good morning, Fred. Thank you for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
I just was listening to your comment. I'm going to kind of respectfully disagree with some of the things you're saying because I think that the Republicans are too divided. I'm a Republican. I've voted Republican since I started voting, and I very much am against the left side. Kind of always have been, and issues that are close to my heart, close to what I believe is most important in the country, are things like abortion, because they bring in an ideology and a corruption and a destruction within our society that's hard to evaluate, hard to see.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but I see now that the Republican Party is so divided. I mean, I'm a strong supporter of President Trump. I felt a lot of hope as he was running. I was really never offended. I'm a retired blue-collar worker, so his his language and the way he spoke, that's the way a lot of middle-class Americans speak in their shops and in their workplaces. And so if you want to listen to somebody, you've got to listen through that to hear them. And I could hear him. I felt very strongly the things that he was saying was true. And then if you listened long enough, after a few weeks, you'd see that it would come to pass. But the Republican Party right now, in my opinion, and I'm so discouraged, I'm almost feeling hopeless without some sort of a new party, something that's truly conservative, that will truly move toward that agenda, because that's what's going to change our country. We don't need a lot of compromise and try to continue to make some smoldering pot to blend everybody together. We can accept different ways of believing, but we got to stand for our country and what our country believes in, our Constitution, which is very, very misunderstood and misread all the time. So anyway, that's my comment. So.
No, I think Wayne has addressed something that many Republicans are talking about, that there is the Trump side of things in the Republicans, but there's the Republican establishment. And that has that problem, that division in the Republican Party has certainly been manifested leading up to the election, during the election campaign, and to a certain extent afterwards. Now, they tried to glad hand each other in public, but there's still a divide. And I think of people like John McCain, Senator John McCain, and Senator Collins of Maine, outspoken critics of much of what Donald Trump has been trying to do. So that division certainly has to be addressed. Let's try to squeeze in one more call here. Let's go to Gloria in Mississippi. Gloria, are you with us?
Yes, I am, and I've been listening to those two comments, and I see what they're saying, but, you know, God put Obama in for 8 years so we could really see the light, I believe. I'm a born-again believer, and now because of our prayers and our not losing hope, Trump is there. Now, a lot of the swamp has to be cleaned out in the Republican House, but one of the problems one of the gentlemen was saying is that there's a lot of division. There's a lot of division in the Democratic Party, too. They just don't air it out. The Republicans are just too honest and too upfront, and they air out their differences. The Democrats, when they lead behind closed doors, they're divided, but they don't do it. And, of course, they have the radical media and Hollywood behind them, which, you know, pumps them up. I do not lose hope. I believe that all of our leaders are put in there by God, and we just have to be on our knees, pray daily, listen to Franklin Graham. Revival needs to come into this country, and it needs to come into term limits, too. It needs to be voted in. Term limits for all congressmen and senators, they get too happy. I left Cuba in 1961, and I saw the decline starting in 1963 when they took the prayer and the Pledge of Allegiance from the school.
Yeah. And Gloria, thank you very much. Much to churn on there. We appreciate your comments. Hey, listen, been good to be with you on this the morning after those special elections, both in South Carolina and Georgia, Republicans winning those, but much closer than what a lot of people thought. And so I'm sure it's going to be talked about today. Will the Democrats change their tune? Some Democrats think they should. Republicans still divided, but able to win special elections. What does all this mean for the elections, the midterms next year? Much more ahead on that analysis as you continue to listen to American Family Radio today. Fred Jackson sitting in for Sandy. Good to be with you this morning. Stay tuned for much more great programming here on American Family Radio.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.